Why don't you take your seats? We're going to be having communion at the end of our message. And I'm going to invite Anita straight up this morning. She's going to come and bring the word. Why don't you give her a welcome as she comes?
That worship was amazing, wasn't it? Well, I've been given strict instructions to remember to not keep you here all day. And I have promised, so I will do my best. I want to talk about Christmas Unwrapped. But I just need some props this morning. This is really loud, is it? No? Just sounds it to me. Okay, Steve, sorry, would you do me a really big favor, please? Can you bring in the tree from out there and just put it up here next to me? That would be awesome. Yeah, that's all right. You'll find out why I want that one in a minute. Okay, so this morning I want to talk about Christmas Unwrapped. Has anyone unwrapped any presents yet this morning? Thank you. These fussy people. Yes. All right. So who had presents wrapped in newspaper today? Anyone? How about wrapped inside socks? No? What were your presents wrapped in? Kids, what were your presents wrapped in? Yes? Wrapping paper? Anyone have anything different? Gift bags, yes.
Boxes.
Thank you, Steve, that's perfect. Boxes, yes. Presents come in boxes. We're gonna unwrap Christmas a little differently this morning. Can you go in your Bibles, please, to Luke chapter 2? Did anyone bring their Bible today?
Yeah.
Okay. So, Luke chapter 2, and we're going to read from verses 8 to 20. Now, this is something you're probably going to have heard many times before, particularly this time of year, but I'm hoping to bring just something a little bit fresh and different out for you today. Okay, anyone got it? Say, got it.
Got it.
Very good. Luke 2, we're starting in verse 8. Now, there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. Then the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. And this will be the sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling cloths lying in a manger." Jeremy, can you get me baby Jesus in the manger out there, please? Thank you. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth goodwill towards men." So it was when the angels had gone away from them into heaven, and the shepherds said to one another, "Let us now go to Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us." And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. Now when they had seen him, they made widely known the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all those who heard it marveled at these things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. Then the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen as it was told them. Now it says that they would find a babe wrapped in swaddling suppose, lying in a manger. So I'm going to lift this up a bit higher for a minute. Can everyone see it? Okay. Why was this a sign to the shepherds, do you think? It's a strange sign. We like signs as signposts, don't we? Stenthorpe, 5Ks. No, in Stenthorpe, it's like 5Ks anywhere. It's amazing. But this was a particular sign to the shepherds. And what kind of wrapping was on this first present? It was swaddling clothes, right? This was before cloth nappies, just letting you know, kids, all right? Before, I mean, disposable nappies. Okay, swaddling clothes. So this baby was wrapped in swaddling clothes. Do you think every baby gets wrapped in swaddling clothes or cloths? Yes? No? No? Is there something different about these ones that makes this a particular sign? Because is it really a baby, like is it really a phenomenal sign to see a baby swaddled? That's pretty normal, right? Most mums swaddle their babies. So why was this a sign? Two reasons. First, it was swaddling cloths. Now the shepherds knew these really well because there was a certain type of lamb that they would wrap in these cloths. It was the lamb that was born without spot and without blemish. A perfect little lamb. You're just going to have to get used to me going all over the place this morning. Sorry. Come here, little lammy. Okay. So where there was a lamb born that was just right, perfection, they would look after it really, really well. They would wrap it in swaddling cloths and they would put it in the manger to make sure that this lamb would be kept perfect. Anyone know why this lamb had to be kept perfect? What was going to happen to it when it grew up a little bit more? It was going to become the sacrificial lamb for the sins of the people. It had to be perfect, without any spot, without any blemish. Perfect. And they had to make sure nothing happened to this lamb. It couldn't go into too many rocky places in case it, you know, got a thorn or punctured itself and bled and created a scab. They had to treat this lamb with the most respect because it was born with one purpose. One day the lamb would take the place of the people and die for their sins. And this was the sign that the angel said the shepherds would find not a lamb, but a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger. The baby was where the lamb went. And the sign became the baby who was the lamb. It tells us another hint. If we go to Matthew chapter 1, he words it just a little bit different to Luke, and it gives us another hint about this moment. So Matthew 1, 21, the angel is talking to Joseph about taking Mary to be his wife, and the angel says this, "And she will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. For he will save his people from their sins." So all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, "Behold, the virgin shall be with child and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel," which is translated "God with us." So he said, call him Jesus because he's going to save his people from their sins. So here was another clue. This baby was not just any baby. He was the future sacrifice for sins, born perfect for one purpose, to die on behalf of humanity. What an astounding sign for these shepherds to receive. Absolutely amazing. Now, you know what I love about Christmas is all the decorations. Ever since I can remember, we always had decorations put up in December, and it always made me feel so excited because it was a special time of year. But I'm hoping today that the decorations will be more than glitter and bling, that they'll be something that will forever make you look at Christmas differently after this morning's message. All right. It says that he will save his people from their sins. Now, I want to read in, we're going back to Luke's gospel, in Luke chapter 1 now, and verse 31 to 33, again, 31 to 33. This is the angel proclaiming things about Jesus. Okay, and behold, now this is the angel talking to Mary. You will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son and shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom there will be no end. So the angel says he's going to rule over the throne of David, his father. Now, when we read the genealogies in the book of Matthew, we realize that David wasn't necessarily his father. You know, Joseph was his earthly father. But David was somewhere around the great, 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 father. And, but it's amazing how Matthew starts this lineage that keeps going back and back and back. So I'm going to do something here. This is a silver tinsel, but it reminds me of a silver cord, of a pattern that runs all the way through the Bible. It went actually right back past David, past Abraham. It's a very long one. It goes all the way back to Genesis chapter 3 and a moment in time that changed everything. This is like a timeline running throughout history. And we go all the way back. Notice this is on a tree, and that's where it all began. On a tree, there was a snake one day, and the snake talked to Eve. And the snake said to Eve, coming out of the tree, are you not allowed to eat any of the fruit off the trees in this garden? And Eve said, oh, no, that's not right. We're allowed to eat the fruit off the trees. There's just one tree that we can't eat from. If we even touch it or eat it, we'll die. Oh, so the serpent says, that's not the case. If you have it, you will be like God, knowing good from evil. And he convinces her to take the forbidden fruit off of the tree and eat it. So what was, I'm doing a good job of getting tangled up here. Okay, we're getting there. Okay, so from the very first tree, we go all the way back to creation and the fall of man. But God wasn't done with them. And what does he do? He has a promise. He says to the serpent, because of what you've done, You're going to crawl on your belly and you're going to eat dust all the days of your life. And I'm going to put enmity between you, your seed, and the woman and her seed. And one day, serpent, the seed from that woman is going to bruise your head. And you will bruise his heel. And so that word of judgment from Almighty God, it rings in the serpent's ears day and night, day and night. There's coming one who's going to crush me, who's going to bruise me, who's going to defeat me. And he keeps looking through every generation, wondering when this one will arrive. Is it this time? Is it Moses? Is it Abraham? Who's it going to be? And all of a sudden, there's born a lamb. And the silver thread of redemption weaves its way back to another tree. This one, though, isn't like the one in the garden with lots of fruit. This is a rugged tree, stripped of all branches, a place and an instrument of death. Just like the first tree in the garden, when they disobeyed God, it brought death. Well, now the destiny of the seed is to come and hang upon a tree that would one day set everyone free from death. And what I love is this. The red. The red balls on the tree remind me of the blood of Jesus that would one day be on the future tree. The blood that would be spilled so that we could be forgiven. And the cord of redemption goes all the way to the cross, where the perfect lamb would lay down his life for us. And he took what was a symbol of death and sorrow, the cross, and instead he brought new life out of it. And now we use a Christmas tree that's an evergreen, because he brought everlasting life where there was only death and destruction before. His blood was enough, more than enough, to redeem us. Isaiah chapter 1, I'm going to read verse 18. It's such a powerful verse. You can turn there if you want to. Isaiah chapter 1, verse 18. Sorry, I'm just making sure I've got that right. Come now, let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be white as snow. And though they are red like crimson, they shall be as wool. He is prophesying of a day when God would do something amazing. He would take our sin and he would cleanse us with the blood of the Lamb, and he would make us white as snow, clean and pure again. In the New Testament, I love this verse, Ephesians 1:7. Let's have a look at that one together. Ephesians 1:7. In him, in Jesus, we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace, which he made to abound toward us. In him we have redemption. Silver is the color of redemption. Do you know Jesus was betrayed for 30 pieces of silver? That was the price meted out for him. But silver is the metal of redemption. And Jesus came to redeem each and every one of us. Born to be the perfect Lamb of God. So what was started in a tree and on a tree was finished on a tree. Jesus came completely for one purpose, to die to redeem us. The Bible calls him the bright and morning star. He's amazing. He rose from the dead after dying for us on the cross, so that we could have eternal life, just like the evergreen tree, live forever, to restore us back to the Father. I have another colour here. Thank you. And this probably blows me away the most. I'll never forget the day that I learned about Jesus. I'm trying not to cry, so bear with me. The day I learned about him being a servant king, royalty. The gold makes me think of heaven, it makes me think of one of the gifts that the wise men brought, fitting for a king. But there's a verse in Revelation where John is seeing Jesus revealed very different to the way he saw him on earth. And he's trying to describe him. He said, oh, his eyes are like flames of fire. And he had this white robe, you know, like a girdle around his waist, a golden girdle around his waist. And you know what? I had read that for a long time, but it was Joseph Prince in a meeting. I heard him unpack this, and I'd never realized this before. But he said this, you know, in those times, the only people who wore a girdle were the servants. And the reason for that was because they had to so often take up the hem of their long robes and gird them, tuck them in to their girdle, so they could hasten about and do the bidding of their master. And here's Jesus, glorified in all his majesty and splendor, at the right hand of the Father, seated with him in absolute authority and rule and reign and power. And John is beholding him as he's never seen him before. And he's trying to describe what he's seeing. But there's a detail that doesn't seem to fit in. To all this majesty, there is a golden girdle around his waist. Even in his glorified state, Jesus is still willing to serve you and I. He's the King of Kings, and yet he wears a golden girdle because he is the King that came to serve, and not just to wait tables. He came to serve by giving his very self, his very life for us. Royalty, humbling himself to become a baby, humbling himself to have a nappy changed. Can you imagine? The King of Kings, the creator of everything, as a humble baby. But even more than that, the Bible says he humbled himself even to the point of death, even the death of the cross. And he counted his reputation as nothing for the joy that was set before him. You know, we sing about all the time this time of year, joy to the world. His joy is you and I, that we would come and be part of him, part of him and the Father and the Spirit, part of the family, reconciled, joined together, brought back into the family. That what he began right back in Genesis, he would finish. And our destiny, because of Jesus, is that one day we get to rule and reign with him. Isn't that amazing? We get to be like him. And that's just part of the redemption story. Really, for me, Christmas is just a reminder of one of the most epic adventures, epic stories ever told, epic encounters with God ever recorded, and yet it's living, breathing reality. It's not just an event that happened 2,000 years ago in history. It's actually our reality today. What he began, what he did, is reality for me and you today. The Savior came. We've sung some beautiful songs this morning. Behold him. Adore him. Gaze at him. Can I get the ushers to hand out communion for me, please? I want us to do something this morning. I want you to have a look at this lamb. And I'm going to put it in the front row and just get you all to pass it along. I want you to look at how innocent, how helpless, how pure, how sweet it is. The Bible says, behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Take a moment with it. Take a moment with that lamb. Behold the Lamb of God, the innocent one, the one born without any blemishes, wrapped in swaddling cloths, lying in a manger. His destiny, the cross, for you and I. I really want to read you a passage, but I'm going to bawl my eyes out, so I'm going to get Jeremy to come up and read it. Because it's Isaiah, we know it well, Isaiah 53. I'm going to get him to read it in the Message version. Maybe we might go from verse 3, I think. And just read it on.
Isaiah 53 in the Message. It says, the servant grew up before God, a scrawny seedling, a scrubby plant in a parched field. There was nothing attractive about him, nothing to cause us to take a second look. He was looked down on and passed over, a man who suffered, who knew pain firsthand. One look at him and people turned away. We looked down on him, thought he was scum. But the fact is, it was our pains he carried, our disfigurements, all the things wrong with us. We thought he brought it on himself, that God was punishing him for his own failures, but it was our sins that did that to him, that ripped and tore and crushed him. Our sins. He took the punishment and that made us whole. Through his bruises we get healed. We're all like sheep who've wandered off and gotten lost. We've all done our own thing, gone our own way. And God has piled all our sins, everything we've done wrong, on him. On him. He was beaten, he was tortured, but he didn't say a word. Like a lamb taken to be slaughtered, and like a sheep being sheared, he took it all in silence. Justice miscarried and he was let off. And did anyone really know what was happening? He died without a thought for his own welfare, beaten, bloody for the sins of my people. They buried him with the wicked, threw him in a grave with a rich man, even though he'd never hurt a soul or said one word that wasn't true. Still, it's what God had in mind all along, to crush him with pain. The plan was that he give himself as an offering for sin so that he'd see life come from it. Life. Life and more life. And God's plan will deeply prosper through him. Out of that terrible travail of soul, he'll see that it's worth it and be glad he did it. Through what he experienced, my righteous one, my servant, will make many righteous ones, as he himself carries the burden of their sins. Therefore, I'll reward him extravagantly, the best of everything, the highest honors, because he looked death in the face and didn't flinch. Because he embraced the company of the lowest. He took on his own shoulders the sin of the many. He took up the cause of all the black sheep.
Thank you. Why don't you stand with me? Let's just honor him in this moment. Enter in together and take